how much alcohol is safe to drink. Well, top health professionals have just released new guidance saying there is no level of drinking without risk to health. That's a stark warning from the UK's chief medical officers. They've published a raft of changes, in fact, to advise on drinking. The new guidance sweeps away recommendations made some 20 years ago. It says, for instance, pregnant women should avoid alcohol altogether and men should consume no more than 14 units of alcohol per week. And if you are wondering what that amounts to, I'm sure many of you are this morning because you can't get your head around this whole unit's measurement. Well, that's around 6 pints of beer or 6 glasses of wine, bringing them into line very much with the recommendation for women. Well, I've been speaking to Dr. Michael McBride, the Chief Medical Officer for Northern Ireland, and I started by asking him why the advice was not to drink at all. If there is no safe limit, is what they're telling us, then should we not be banning alcohol altogether?
Well, at the level of 14 units of alcohol per week, the risk associated with that is about a 1% risk, which translates into a 1% reduction in life expectancy. Now, the question I hear you asking me is, what does that mean? Well, over a 50-year period, that would translate into losing 6 months of life or 15 minutes every day. Now, some people might think, well, that's a very fairly reasonable trade-off if I wish to consume alcohol, but it will mean losing potentially 6 months of life over a 50-year period. Now, we need to put that into context because obviously everything we do in life has with it risks. So a 1% risk would be equivalent of sitting, watching television, doing nothing, not moving for about 1 hour a day, over a lifetime. Or again, we've seen recent media coverage about the risks associated with eating processed meat. So again, it would be the same sort of risk associated with eating 2 bacon sandwiches every day over a lifetime. So that's the level of risk. Now, obviously, all we can do is provide the best advice, the updated scientific advice to the public, and then it's up to individuals to make decisions about the amount of alcohol they consume. So, when you drink more than 14 units of alcohol, and particularly also drinking that, not spreading that out over a week, then you do increase your risk, particularly of cancers. If people want to reduce the risk of cancers, then they should certainly consider drinking less than 14 units or not drinking at all. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that has fundamentally changed, and this is an important message, let's bust the myth once and for all that a glass of red wine is good for you. If people are thinking of taking up alcohol to protect their health, they shouldn't, is the message. We know that because of the improvement in outcomes for people with heart disease and the improved treatment in the health service for high blood pressure, etc., that any benefit that was previously there from the consumption of small amounts of alcohol is now outweighed by the harm caused. So don't take up alcohol to protect your health.
Well, why are we only getting this now? Why are we only getting this message now? Because previous to this, we were told that 21 units of alcohol a week was sufficient and was a good bar to measure lifestyles by. Now you're telling us you're 14. People are going to be confused.
Well, I mean, we never said drink 21 units of alcohol and you'll be okay. What we said was that you should not drink more, and if you are drinking alcohol, you should not drink more than 21 units of alcohol. I mean, the truth of the matter is that the science has changed. Evidence does change. The last guidance was published in 1995. The guidance has been informed by the science. The science has moved on.
Of course, safe alcohol limits do vary around the world. Different countries have different thresholds, if you like. Why should we listen to you? Why have you got it right, maybe with other countries maybe preaching something completely different?
No other European country has looked at guidance for alcohol consumption in the last 10 years. The only countries that have recently looked at that is Australia and Canada. We have included in this guidance across the UK research that's not been conducted anywhere else. So this is the most up-to-date, most relevant, most current guidance that there is anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Is there evidence out there, Michael, which shows that people actually listen to this type of guidance?
I think there's variable evidence, I think it's fair to say. I think that, what one could argue, and I think there is some evidence to suggest that individuals who listen to this are perhaps those individuals whose consumption of alcohol may be more moderate or modest. and that it may well be useful in ensuring that those individuals' consumption remains moderate or modest. Clearly, if someone has a major and significant, is drinking in a harmful way, or someone has a serious alcohol addiction, then obviously there will be limitations in terms of guidance. Alcohol addiction is a dreadful affliction, just like all addictive habits. And obviously, you know, producing guidance of this nature for individuals who have an alcohol addiction is not going to be terribly useful and effective.
Are we fast approaching the point where the guideline is going to drop below 10, it's going to come down maybe 5 or 6? Is that where we're heading with all of this, do you think?
Well, I suppose I would say to you that, you know, the guideline is what it is. It's basically saying that very clearly there is no safe level of alcohol consumption. So I suppose we're at that point. It's not for me to preach. It's not for me to dictate. It's not for government to do so. But it is our responsibility to get that information out there, to present it in a way which people understand, and then allow people to make informed decisions.
Dr. Michael McBride there, we'll leave it. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.
Thank you very much indeed.
So, now it's over to you. Are you going to take on board what Michael McBride has just said? Are you going to alter your drinking habits to lead a much more healthier lifestyle? Let us know your thoughts. 0303 80 55 55, the telephone number, 81771, the text number. Do you need advice about how much you should drink? Do you think indeed we drink too much in this country, or are we just the same indeed as everyone else? Well, I've been speaking to the commentators Dave Atherton and the writer Emma Wolfe about these new guidelines out today, and I started by asking Emma what she thought of the proposals.
I think they're well overdue, but I would actually reverse it. I would say that we should be allowed to drink. We should allow ourselves to drink on 2 days a week, and we should have at least 4 or 5 days off alcohol. Really, I mean, the effects of alcohol on the liver are absolutely, and we know far more about the damaging effects of alcohol, and I think this is, yeah, well overdue.
And why do you think that they've just gone for the 2 days on this one? Is it because to push it any further probably would be a backlash?
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, people are already trying to rationalise it and saying, oh, but I only have a little bit every night. But the fact is, we know that drinking in, you know, day after day after day without giving your liver a break is the most damaging way to drink. I suppose they couldn't push it any more than 2 days a week, and that sounds manageable to people.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, absolutely ridiculous. No, if I want to have a drink every night, that's my prerogative. You know, I really don't think why I should bend into other people's finger-wagging, nannying rules. By the way, can I also say that that's in direct contradiction of the British Liver Trust. They actually suggest that drinking on a small but regular basis is far better for you than abstaining from certain days of the week. You know, what happens is, well, people just end up binge drinking again, and it's saving up their alcohol units for the week. Off they go down the pub, and 8 pints later, they're wobbling home.
But surely, though, there comes a point where people have to be more responsible for their drinking, and they do look to the powers that be to advise them on this and to set the guidelines so that they can refer to them and be able to say, look, this is the way I'm going to live my life. If it's recommended that 2 days are going to be free in the week, then that's surely a good thing, Dave.
Well, it's a good thing if you believe it to be a good thing. It shouldn't be a good thing because somebody else thinks it's a good thing.
But hold on, Dave. Hold on. You say it's your prerogative. But who picks up the pieces when you go into an NHS hospital with severe cirrhosis of the liver? It's the NHS. We've already got a crisis in the NHS, what with obesity and all of that. You can't say it's your prerogative. This is a public health issue.
Well, fine. I'm also a smoker. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very happy to opt out of the National Health Service and go private on the condition that I pay for my alcohol at without any taxation on it. And
also
my cigarettes as well. The government owes me £100,000 in cash versus the treatment I've cost the National Health Service so far versus what I paid in taxation.
Well, that'd be ridiculous. The NHS owes us all different amounts. We all pay our taxes and we all need different care at different times. But listen, we know that even small amounts of alcohol can cause cancer, can cause heart disease.
You may well
be going into hospital at different times with different illnesses, different conditions, and you'll be
sorry, Emma, you're talking.
Hold on, I'll bring you back in again in a moment, dear. Finish your point, Emma.
Sorry, no, I was just saying, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just saying that you know, these are the conditions that are caused by alcohol. We know that small amounts can cause cancer and heart disease and things like that, let alone smoking. And Dave may well be going, I hope he's not, but he may well be going into hospital at different times in his life requiring treatment.
The last time I was in hospital was in was 32 years ago, having my wisdom teeth out. But anyway, that's by the by.
That's great, but I mean in public, I mean in terms of the general population.
Well, no. The point is, drinkers, smokers, and the obese actually pay for their own treatment. For example, there's £11.4 billion in taxation from smoking. Mm-hmm. There's also about £10.5 billion the Treasury receives from the sale of alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know, so something like two-thirds of a pint of beer is taxation.
Mm-hmm. I'd of interest, how much do you drink in a week, Dave?
Depends. Somewhere between 20 and 40 units a week.
Could you go without alcohol for a day?
Funny enough, I did actually. I was well exceeded my 40 units over the Christmas period.
40 units. Oh my goodness, Dave! I haven't had a drink since October.
Well, good for you. You know.
40 units. That is, you are severe. That is severely dangerous.
No, it's not. No, hang on a second. This is the point I was going to make. But the simple reason that theoretically drinkers have a higher risk of cancer is because they live longer. No, there is ample medical research that those who drink moderately actually live longer than teetotalers. It's by a period of about 5 years.
You're not drinking moderately. That is not moderate drinking.
There is ample research out there which I've actually gone into. There's a particularly good Danish paper that covers something like 40,000 people they cover for about 10 years. And those who drank moderately, lightly to moderately, up to including 40 units a week, 50 units a week, actually lived longer than teetotalers.
No, there's no point doing this. I found this research. I found that study. There's always another study that will show you. But the fact
I would like to see some research to the contrary.
There's plenty of research out there showing that constant drinking without giving your liver a break in order to regenerate causes cirrhosis, and it doesn't show up. This is the thing. It's a silent killer. It doesn't show up, and it cannot regenerate until the damage is really, really quite far advanced.
Well, hang on a second. You know this 2 to 3 units a day, urban myth. Do you know the person who headed up that committee, Dr. Richard Smith, who I view to be an honest academic, actually admitted in 2006 that the figures were plucked out of the air.
Hold on, Emma. Do you ever stop to think, Dave, about the damage that the 40 units of alcohol is doing to your body every week?
No, because apparently it's not doing me any damage. Funny enough, I actually went to the doctors. I paid for it privately. That was about 12 years ago. And I said, look, I'm smoking 20 cigarettes a day. I'm drinking all. I used to work at the city. I used to drink about 50 to 60 units a week. And I said, look, I want some good medical evidence that my drinking and smoking is doing me harm. And after all the test results came back, he spluttered, gritted his teeth and said, you seem to be one of the fittest 43-year-olds.
That's hard to believe. That's very hard to believe, Dave, that you can drink that amount of alcohol and your doctor tells you you're still fine.
Since that time, I actually cut down. As I say, I said 20 to 40. I don't drink 40 units every week, but it's something like 20 to 40 in that area. When I was 43, I was drinking about 50, 60 units a week.
We all drank lots when we were younger. Hold on. We all drank lots when we were younger.
I'm 43. Can I tell you Emma? I was 43 when I did it. How old are you, Emma?
I'm in my 30s. I'm talking about when we were teenagers. We all drank loads. Yeah. That's not the point.
Let Emma finish, Dave, and I'll bring you back in again.
Hold on, Dave. The first thing, alcohol is a poison. Look, it is a poison. The liver has to struggle to process it. The second thing is, it's an addiction. And I don't mean to be rude, but you're addicted to nicotine and you're addicted to alcohol.
Despite the fact that I didn't drink on Monday and Tuesday this week myself.
And do you feel better when you don't drink, Dave, out of interest?
Well, I don't sleep any better. But
physically, do you feel better when there's no...
The answer is no.
You don't feel any better when there's no alcohol in your system?
I just
honestly?
I just do it to prove that I can do it.
Emma?
I mean, I've given up smoking too. I think it's a really... I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying these are really difficult addictions. Mm-hmm. I promise you, Dave, you would firstly, your body's adjusting, so it won't sleep well at first. It's adjusting to not having huge amounts of sedative depressants in its system. So you're not going to sleep well at first when you stop drinking. But if you did it for a couple of weeks, if you really got into it, you would notice the difference, and your body would thank you.
Let me also add, I used to go dry in January, 5-10 years ago. Every January, I used to go out drinking for the whole month.
And why did you go dry? Was it better health-wise for you to go dry? Is that what you thought?
Just to prove that I'm on top of my drinking, and it's not an addiction.
Well, you're not.
And you know, but then the nannies got involved, and I've basically given up. And
That's interesting really... because people listening will say the reason you go off for a month in January because you know that it's better for you not to drink in January for the month, and it's better for your health. But you're not admitting that.
Well, that was the theory. And I really sincerely did not feel any better for it. I didn't sleep any better. I didn't feel any more vibrant and energetic. It was a complete waste of time in some ways.
Last word to you, Emma.
I bet your health was better. I bet you lost weight. I bet you felt less depressed or sluggish or whatever. I'm sorry, but those are the things. And that's what alcohol is.
I'm always jolly, Emma.
I love having a glass of wine with dinner. You know, no one should deny themselves that pleasure. I'm not saying people need to go teetotal completely.
Okay.
But the amount that you're drinking, yeah, sorry.
Okay, there we'll have to leave it. Emma, Dave, thank you very much indeed for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thanks, we'll
see if these guidelines actually work and if people actually listen to them. 81771, the text number. Now, let's hear from Sydney, who's from Rathfriland this morning. Sydney, good morning to you. So what do you make of these new guidelines then, Sydney?
Well, I've been associated with the sale of drink for a number of years, and I've seen abusive drinking, moderate drinking, and very hard to come to any conclusions because I think genes are a very important aspect of the whole thing. But I had said to one of your analysts or one of your clerical staff, maybe that's the wrong term, would it be interesting to see the bits of liver cancer compared in a Muslim country where the vast majority of people don't drink alcohol with that of the British Isles? All these different contradictory stats are coming out here, but that's a simple thing to do. Just get this, let's say, look at Iran and compare the figures of liver cancer in Iran to those in the UK and the Republic of Ireland.
You don't trust what you're being told today, is that what you're saying?
No, we're getting too many stats, mm-hmm. and they're contradictory. One day, sugar's bad for you. One day, butter's bad for you. One day meat's bad for you. So we're getting a lot of stuff. What I would say is probably there's a time in your life when you can take a few drinks. There's a time you have to watch it when you get older.
Do you not think it's helpful, though, to have some advice from the experts to say if you go beyond the 14 units per week that you're going to do yourself some serious damage? Is that not helpful?
Well, I don't know. What are 14 units? Again, it depends. A lot of people are drinking at home now. Pubs are going out. Mm-hmm. Pubs are not the in thing. They're taking home a bottle of vodka because it's cheap, £13, maybe on a Saturday night. Instead of having a few halfs and a couple of pints in a pub, going home and drinking the complete bottle of vodka because it's cheap. Now, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So maybe looking at the price of alcohol might be another solution. They're talking about having a bottom-line limit, if you like. Was that something you would think might be beneficial?
Of course the trend is to make alcohol as accessible and as cheap as possible. And we'll probably not know until a few years from now what the consequences of that are going to be.
Mm-hmm. Do you take a drink?
I do take a drink, but have, with my increasing age, taken considerably less drink. Mm-hmm. But I still love a drink.
Mm. What about perhaps being a little bit more drastic and working with the labelling of alcohol? Because we know what's happened when it's come to cigarettes and the move there to remind people every time they pick up a packet of cigarettes what it does to your health. Is that something perhaps we should look at? Looking at maybe putting messages on the labels of bottles of beer or bottles of wine to drive home the message to people what it's going to do to them?
Well, I don't know. How many times do you read a label?
Mm-hmm. But they tell us it works in cigarettes.
With an awful lot of other evidence, it works with cigarettes. The fact that we know that a lot of people who smoke heavily have cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sydney, thank you very much indeed for that. Dave from Warringstown's up next. Dave, what do you think?
How you doing? And I think this is just typical NAMI stuff. there's people out there who do abuse alcohol, and those few are going to make the likes of me suffer because of their actions. I enjoy a sensible drink. I don't binge drink. I like a drink at the weekend, maybe a couple of G&Ts or maybe a couple of glasses of wine. And I don't see why I should suffer because of the actions of a few people in our society that abuse the system. Mm-hmm. People always will abuse anything that's out there. And mm-hmm. you take some of the foodstuffs that we have. There's additives and preservatives in some of our foods that are more likely to do our liver and do our bodies more harm than the occasional drink. Now, would you not agree with that?
So what do you drink then? You're telling us you drink just at the weekends, is that it?
I'll have a drink at the weekend because I'm a truck driver and I like to keep my blood alcohol free. So maybe on a Friday night or a Saturday night, I'll have a couple of gin and tonics or maybe have a couple of glasses of red wine, not to the point where I'm falling down, not to the point where I don't even know my own name. Mm-hmm. There's people I know that do that, but it doesn't matter what the subject you're talking about, Andy. We'll always have those that will use and abuse everything that's out there. I'm a non-smoker, but that doesn't mean to say that I'm not contract lung cancer at some stage because of all the pollutants and all that's in the air from big businesses that don't pay tax. Mm-hmm. I buy a bottle of wine or I buy a bottle of gin or I buy a wee drop of whiskey or whatever. I'm paying my tax on that. I'm a taxpayer, and if I do need any help from the NHS, I've paid into the pot. What about all these people that sit at home and benefit and sit and drink and smoke to access?
Okay, David.
There's plenty of money for that.
Okay, David, thank you indeed for that. John, you're up next.
Morning. I was just wondering, a couple of years ago we had a survey out that told us that one glass of red wine a day was good for the heart. Is that now finished with then? Is that no longer the case?
Well, apparently so, according to this new advice out today.
Yeah, and what are we going to do then with people who work in the transport industry, people who drive trains, buses, taxis, even the airline pilots who take a couple of drinks after their day's work? Are they going to lose their licences? You know, I drink 42.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, I mean, that's the way it's going to work, according to these guys. I mean, I drink 42 units a week. I've never been drunk in my life. When I told my doctor he sent me for liver test, all my liver function tests come back normal. So that doesn't seem to stack up as far as I can see.
So you think 42 units is okay for you, essentially?
It is, yes. Because I used to drink with a guy, and he drank two bottles of Carlies. And when he drank those two bottles of Carlies, this man was excessively drunk. I mean, two bottles of Carlies just knocked him sideways. Oh, he did. Mm-hmm. And as I would say, I would drink 2 or 3 pints a night. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as your previous caller said, it's really the individual on how he copes with it. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting you say that you think you're fine at 42 units of alcohol. According to the professionals who are talking today, they're saying anything above 14, then you're running the risk of cancer and a lot of other illnesses out there that might be coming your way further down the line. Do you ever stop to think about that?
No, but then again, there's people on the other side of the coin who have drank all their lives. I mean, my father would have drank a half bottle of gin every day. He lived 89.
But isn't that the thing? We measure ourselves against other people.
We may suffer.
You know, we measure ourselves against other people, and we really shouldn't do that, should we?
Well, I mean, it's swings and roundabouts because you get people who maybe will get cancer as alcohol, and you get people who won't. You know, as your previous caller says, we've got, tell us meat's bad for us, tell us sugar's bad for us, tell us butter's bad for us. It'll never be too long before they come out and say, if you sit beside someone who drinks alcohol, it'll be bad for you.
I take it you're going to ignore this advice today, then?
Absolutely.
Okay. John, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for that. Joe's next. Joe, go ahead. Where do you stand on this advice? Are you going to heed it?
Well, I've not listened to all the advice, but this is what rang into the... I have two customers going on a regular basis into my place. And 2 years ago, they went to have a whiskey on a regular basis every week. And one of them celebrated his 100th birthday there 2 years ago, and he's still going. He still takes a whiskey, and his brother, he's the same, and drink whiskey on a regular basis. And the night of the 100th birthday, leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I said, you take away a drink before you go, and they sit down another 2 or 3 whiskeys. Mm-hmm. They're still going. Mm-hmm.
But of course, we can't measure you by them, so to speak. You know, we can't look to other people and think, well, if they can manage it and they can live a long life, well, maybe the advice isn't what we've been told it is.
No, the same as the previous caller. You know, I think everybody's different. You know, and in the bar business, you see people coming in all the time, and some people take drinks, and it seems as it doesn't do harm, and they live a long life. And there's other people that don't take drink, mm-hmm. and you know, and they can get cancer at a younger age.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear from somebody working in the bar business, because the big issue for a lot of people is this whole measurement of units, and people struggle to get their head around it. Do you understand it? Do your customers understand the whole units measurement?
No. There's one man, and I was talking about it there, and he was taking a lot of drink, and he was in the hospital, and he says, the doctor said, I'm a units. He says, what do I know about units? He says, I don't know about units. He says, no, but... I don't know. Like, I don't think people that do take a drink don't think the possible some works in units.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what's in a unit of in a pint of beer, for instance, unit wise? Are you able to tell them?
Oh yeah, I can tell them. Sure, yeah. Like, we have enough information about it through the the trading things they got there about units and mm-hmm. and proper drinking. You know, but,
yeah.
You know, people quite enjoy drinking. I think it doesn't do them any harm. Eh?
Okay. Joe, thank you indeed for that. Gerald from Glengormley, you're up next. What do you think, Gerald?
I think just alcohol. I'll listen to a consultant on TV. I'll have a consultant one night. Don't be wrong, I'm not anti-alcohol. He says alcohol is a poison. No matter how you dress it up, it's a poison. It always will be a poison. And again, I'm not a killjoy. I've never drunk for all my life. I definitely enjoy better health when I measure myself of people of my own age who do drink.
Okay. Gerald, thank you very much indeed for that. So there you have it, the views of some of our listeners this morning. You can, of course, let us know what you think about these guidelines out today. There is no safe level of alcohol consumption, is what we're being told today. And if you have to drink, keep it below 14 units. 0, 30, 30.